This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. A measure to repeal Alaska's nonpartisan primaries and ranked choice general elections will soon be on the ballot this year, but exactly how it's worded remains a hot dispute. Both sides of the repeal have now sued the Division of Elections to try and change the language, because how voters interpret what they see on the ballot can affect the outcome. Repeal Now filed its lawsuit last week. Consultant Greg Powers says the wording the state proposes is more complicated than it should be.
It makes it sound like we're doing other things in this ballot measure, but really all the ballot measure does is return Alaska elections to how they were before ranked choice voting, before that ranked choice voting proposition passed. So we would like the ballot language to reflect that.
Attorney Scott Kendall is the architect of Alaska's current voting method, adopted by voters in 2020. In addition to opening the primary and allowing ranked choice, the 2020 reforms require more campaign disclosures to reduce so-called dark money. Kendall says he wants the ballot language to specify that the repeal would get rid of all those things.
The opponents of election reform want to, first of all, maximize their attacks on ranked choice voting, while at the same time minimizing that they want to repeal open primaries and every voter can vote for every candidate. And they definitely want to minimize or eliminate mention of the specific campaign finance repeals they want to do.
Kendall filed a lawsuit last month on behalf of State Senate Majority Leader Kathy Geisel and other supporters of the 2020 election reforms. He dropped the suit weeks later because, he says, the Division of Elections considered his detailed complaint and revised proposed language.
It's not exactly the way I'd write it, but it was very much more accurate language about what the ballot measure will do.
The new wording, though, prompted the sponsors of the repeal to sue. They contend the ballot language risks confusing voters. Among other challenges, Repeal Now wants the state to put the term ranked choice voting in the ballot title. Voters will decide several election-related matters this year. An initiative to reinstate limits on campaign contributions is set for the August ballot. The repeal of the 2020 election changes and an initiative reiterating that only citizens can vote will also appear on the ballot, likely in November. The Alaska House approved a fast-tracked spending bill totaling nearly $500 million yesterday afternoon. It's intended to cover higher-than-expected costs in the ongoing fiscal year, and it's a contribution of several requests from Governor Mike Dunleavy. Representative Sarah Hannan, a Juneau Democrat, says lawmakers didn't have much choice but to approve the bill.
Although most of us wish government didn't cost what it does, our cost of governing Alaska is more than we turn around and passed a budget for last year. And if we expect to go forward without funding those things, we have crippled our state.
The supplemental funding bill includes millions for the state's share of federally funded construction projects, the response to disasters like Typhoon Halong and wildfire suppression. But the bill's $490 million price tag prompted pushback from House Republicans. Glen Allen Representative Rebecca Shonkey says she's hesitant to draw that much from the state's limited savings without more scrutiny.
If this is the process that we just pay whatever bills are put in front of us on a supplemental basis and we don't ask those hard questions and we don't force the issue of where does the money come from, then what is the legislative branch even doing?
Though the bill passed, Shonkey and 15 other Republican colleagues successfully opposed a supermajority vote needed to fund it from state savings. The failure of that three-quarters vote leaves the bill with no way to pay for its expenses as it heads to the state Senate. A Senate committee is scheduled to consider the bill later this week. After the Senate makes its changes, it'll go back to the House for a final vote, including another vote on the savings draw. Typhoon Halong slammed Alaska's west coast right before basketball season, throwing the future of the tight-knit village teams into the air. KYUK reports how the school district and community members are keeping local basketball teams going, even far from home. Here's the report. When Karen Paul was evacuated out of Quiguilangoc, she left behind her house, the school where she was employed, her life. But Paul says in the middle of that moment, what occupied her mind was basketball.
At the armory, I saw our counselor. I don't know why, but I asked her, I'm hoping we'll have a basketball team.
Like many people in the village, Paul grew up playing basketball. After graduating, she played in adult games and eventually got involved with assistant coaching. It's been a constant character in her life. She's seen each of her three daughters grow up with basketball. Now she's the head coach of the high school team, the Quiguilangoc Lady Eagles.
In cricket, it's really big. The audience, the bleachers fill up during high school games, even the community men and women games. We miss that.
She says in Quiguilangoc, basketball is part of what knits everyone together. It's a sport that fits the harsh subarctic winters like a glove and makes a place for people to gather, squeezed into a gym.
Even though I evacuated to Anchorage, I still thought of it and hoped.
It turned out it was something other people were hoping for, too.
I think it was back in October, early November, and we rallied with the principals, you know, quickly talked to them.
Kristen Hendrickson is the student activities coordinator for the Lower Kuskokwim School District. She says in the days and weeks after the storm, the district started talking about how they could find a way for the displaced students to continue sports. It spurred conversations with social workers, district leaders, and the Alaska School Activities Association about what their options could be going into the basketball season.
It's just a huge part of the YK Delta culture.
After gathering their options, the district and the ASAA decided to put it to the students. They could either try out for the bigger city teams in Bethel or Anchorage, or play as their home village. Across the schools, the students made the same choice. They would play for Kipnuk and Quiguilangoc. After the storm, most typhoon-displaced LKSD students were evacuated to Bethel or Anchorage. Many Quiguilangoc evacuees had ended up in Bethel, and so it was decided that the Eagles teams would be formed out of Bethel Regional High School. The Kipnuk boys and girls teams are based in Anchorage, where more residents from that village are living. But both teams were open to any evacuated students. Out of the 9 girls on the Quiguilangoc team, 2 are from Kipnuk. Hendrickson says she happened to be walking behind 2 of the new students in the hallway on one of the first days of practice.
And I heard the kids say, "Ah, it feels like home." And I think for me, that was an indication that even though it looks different, it's not the same, that it was at least something that was familiar.
It's been a piece of home for the adults as well. Coach Karen Paul began teaching at the Yupik Language Immersion School in Bethel. Among her students were kids she taught back home who'd also been displaced. She says she heard Quiguilangoc would have a team around the same time her daughter went back to the village to retrieve some things. Paul asked her to bring back a tote of jerseys.
They still had that clean, like, laundry. I forgot, maybe in the spring right after basketball season was over, they were still, I could smell them. And it was good to see our jerseys again.
She says it's been huge to see the girls be able to play the sport as their home team, under their same name. Practices have been a way to stay connected to their village.
We wanted to still make them feel like part of Quik and Kipnuk. Encouraging them to keep going.
Kenise Anover is 15 and plays on the Quiguilangoc team.
I was excited because I don't know what I do without ball.
She and her teammate Bessie David say it's been good to have the team, but it's still not home.
I wish we were at home. Same as her, I wish we were at home.
Paul says she's done her best to be positive for the girls, but it's something she feels too. It's only been a few months since October, and the future of their village remains a question. But on the court, here in Bethel, Paul says she's been able to see determination and a hunger to win return to the girls. It's brought some normalcy. Here's Kenise Anover again.
Show up every day. Practice what you need to practice. Push yourself.
The Quigilinguk Lady Eagles have been competing in the 1A League. The girls recently came in second at the Midcoast League tournament in Eek. In addition to a happy victory, it also means they will go on to compete at the Coastal Conference in Bethel in March, where they have the chance to qualify for states. It's the first time the Quig girls have qualified in years. The girls say they're excited for their families and pieces of the Quigilinguk community now living in Bethel to get to see them play. In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson. Tune into KYUK this week to hear a report from the Midcoast League tournament in Eek and from the Kipnuk boys team, who traveled from Anchorage to compete in their home league. This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchik coming up.